Discussions with Ajahn Chuchin in Nakhonnyok, Thailand, January 2016. Recorded and edited by Jonathan and Sarah. Speakers include Sarah, Sundra, John, Nina, Thambak, Tiny Tam, Thai, Eve, Azita, Alberto, and Anne.
So the Dhamma begins with pillow. Very, very daily life.
Softness, hardness,
yes.
Attachment, aversion, just different dhammas.
And if Panya cannot understand reality right now, it's impossible to eradicate the idea of self. So very deeply rooted at moment of seeing, hearing, smelling, thinking, every moment.
Is that not liking the pillow? Vipaka? No, if it's uncomfortable, it's vipaka.
We don't think about the name at all. Otherwise, at that moment, it's not the understanding, the reality as it is, as not self. Because there is the idea of self thinking of something. But even at that moment, when Panya developed, everything is normal. And Panya can abandon attachment to whatever it is. Yeah, anything. Yeah. Otherwise, it's impossible to eradicate the idea of self. It has to be so very natural, like now. See? If Panya developed, or when Panya has developed. Otherwise, seeing is I see. Hearing, I hear. So what's the teachings of the Buddha about? The subtlety of the reality, which is conditioned, just arise and falls away, just see and then never more. As rapid as that, no one can imagine. Otherwise, everyone can know the arising and falling away of whatever appears now.
I have a question from
our Vietnamese friend Lan in Vietnam, so I might as well just ask it at the beginning. Does Dutanga practice support the development of Adhitana Parami and other paramis? And if Ajahn rejects it as a practice, what is the right understanding about Dutangas?
Okay.
Dutangas are ascetic practices.
Yeah, please begin again, little by little.
So this is a question about Dutangas.
What is Dutanga? How many Dutangas? 13. What are they? For monks and for lay people, different Dutanga.
Yeah, as far as I know, they certainly weren't practiced by lay people. They were just practiced by the monks, you know, just
and by bhikkhuni, different.
Yes, yeah. You know, like sitting up, never lying down, living at the root of a tree.
Yes, that's Lan would like to. I would like that to go to the under the tree
wearing rags.
Yes, not accepting any robes from the lay people, just making their own from, you know, as you said, the rag robe wearer. Not accept invitations to people's houses, just accepting Ram's food, and along that line, you know, different types of restrictions. Yeah.
Not all monks observe Dutanga.
No.
Only those with particular accumulations like Mahakasapa to live in the forest and
practice 13.
Or 13. And so just for those who have particular accumulations as monks to live in this way.
And it was never a to do them properly is you didn't tell other people. Although other people may know that, you didn't. And I always remember a beautiful story about a monk who was practiced sitting up all the time, and his brother came to visit him, and he woke up and he saw his brother sitting up, and he said to him, "Are you a sitter?" And his brother didn't answer him; he just lay down. So he broke that practice for that moment. But yeah, you don't. It wasn't spoken of to other people.
And Mahakasapa or the Buddha never told other monks that they should all live this way or...
Yeah, there was
like in the case the Buddha said, if they want to, that's, he considered that allowable, but he never made any, was no should do that at all. No, never.
And Big Brother was given sugar cane, and then the younger brother asked him to have it. He said it no. But he didn't say that I observed the Dhanga. No one tell the others at all.
What is the reason for not telling the others?
Why do you observe the Dhanga? Just to eliminate self, ego, and kilesa.
What was that you were mentioning, Ajahn, about the sugar cane? I didn't follow that.
Sugar cane, you know, in Thai or in India, we eat.
Yes.
Okay. And the big brother monk, I don't know the name, and he was given sugar cane to eat, but he didn't because it's not the right time to eat.
Oh, I see.
And his brother asked whether, why not? He didn't say anything. So the point of listening to the teachings is to understand whatever appears now. Because Buddha taught all about everything, anytime, anywhere. Otherwise, it's like one is so much clean to study the words, the terms, try to have the self no more and things like that. But actually, it's to eradicate wrong understanding and ignorance of whatever appears now.
So back to her question, does
Dutanga practice support the development of Adhitana Parami? In other, Parami is Adhitana, Parami is resolution or determination.
Yeah.
I think it suggests a wrong understanding of the way that the paramis develop.
Even Dutanga should be studied carefully too, otherwise one might think that that person who lives in the forest observes Dutanga. No, not always. Depending on citta at that very moment. And for lay people, when they observe precept, it's not to go to the forest. So what for the lay people? About eating. Because lay people eat, not live in the forest.
Not wear rags and follow.
To wear rags, it's not... the Dutanga.
Yes.
Yeah. Only monks
wear
yellow robe, not red.
Yeah, that's right. They were known as red robe, because they made their own. They didn't accept from the lay people. They just, they saw pieces of cloth on the side of the road, and they thought, oh, I can use a bit of that or not, and. Then they were able to stitch different pieces together. And
they can pick it, keep it to make jiro.
Yeah.
And continue wearing until completely worn out, I think, but not accept from...
What is the history of Dutanga? Was it practiced before the Buddha time?
No. Kassapa in the Buddha time.
Mm-hmm.
It's said by the Buddha, Dutanga.
But how did it start?
For those who have accumulation, not just being a monk, but can develop right understanding by his accumulation of just more than the others who can just being a monk. So it's not rule, it's not vinaya for monk, it's extra for only those who just have accumulation to observe, not telling anyone.
But Mahakasapa, was he practicing Dutanga before or after he became enlightenment?
From his ears accumulation.
Okay. So just like always, before and after he was still.
You know that why he's the foremost of the Dutanga predicted or said by the Buddha. It means that Buddha knew all about Dutanga of monks. It's not that he didn't know anything about Dutanga, but he said that how many are there? How many Dutanga? And how many for monks? How many for bhikkhuni? And how many for lay people? And I think Samanera too.
For him, because of his accumulations, it was just the natural way to live in the forest like this and live in this way. But for other bhikkhus like Ananda or Sariputta, or it's not the natural way. So if one has the idea that there is something beneficial about trying to follow these Dutangas and live in the forest in this way in order to develop the paramis, it's the wrong way, the wrong practice, because one's not being honest or true about one's accumulations.
So if Lan would like to observe Dutanga, she should read about how many Dutanga follow people.
Can you give some example?
Dutanga follow people? And for food? Yeah. Just sit and eat, then take more here and there, from here to there, like this restaurant, and then ice cream for the next, or something like that. It's only about food.
Only about food.
For lay people.
That is so difficult.
It depends. If you have accumulation, you don't have to tell anyone that I have enough. You just sit and you just not telling anyone at all about your behavior of how it's your accumulation.
I haven't met anyone who
you know. Right. How you know? Because they just sit. If they can.
Anyone reach for other food?
Yeah. Okay, it's but in one plate, yeah. Only one plate. Read it and study it. To thank our fellow people, so that we will follow the teachings, because only Buddha knew of everyone's accumulation, latent tendency, behavior in years and years ago. So who can tell? Even oneself cannot tell what charita one has, because we have all charitas.
In the commentaries like the Visuddhimagga, I think it just talks about the Dutangas for bhikkhus. Don't know where it says about the lay.
All 13 Dutanga, and then you know how many for bhikkhus and how many for bhikkhuni, different. And Samanera and lay people.
What came to my mind when hearing Lan's question was that the development of the path is something that can happen regardless of whether or not Dutanga.
Certainly.
Yes.
Because it's not Vinaya.
Right.
And Vinaya is only for monk.
Right.
So those who are not monk can study and become enlightened.
Yes. And Dutanga is not one of the necessary conditions for development of the path, of course.
Otherwise, everyone must have Dutanga.
So it's a bit like people ask about developing Samatha or Jhana. It's actually not a relevant consideration to the development of the path as such.
I think that it's because one does not study the teachings carefully enough to understand just one word at a time. Just one word. Otherwise, one will think that one understands that word, but it's not perfectly, carefully, deeply enough.
Like people may have the idea that the person who develops Dutanga can develop understanding more deeply or more quickly or something like that, but that wouldn't be the case.
That's not the Buddha's word.
Yeah.
That's the idea. It's like one's thinking about the result rather than just understanding Dharma's understanding one's accumulations at the time.
Was Sariputta the foremost of Dutanga?
No.
See? So if he needed Dutanga, he must be the foremost.
Right.
Etataka. I think that people today do not realize who's the Buddha, the enlightened one. It seems that his words are very, very easy, simple. Just read and then follow. That person doesn't understand the virtues the wisdom of the Buddha at all. So who's the Buddha and who am I? Are we Sariputta, Moggallana and Kassapa?
Is that what the Buddha said? That when you see the Dhamma, you see the Buddha. And when you see the
right.
Buddha, you see the Dhamma.
Right. Just understand one word, Dhamma. That person knows that nobody can have anyone understand that at all without his words. That's why he taught. Because no one can help the others to understand Dhamma right now. What is Dhamma? Is there Dhamma? Where is Dhamma? And when is Dhamma? Now. Here and then, even in Buddha's time, now and the future.
Some people hear about jhana or they hear about dutanga and it appeals to them. So they think they would like to practice it.
Because of ignorance. Mm. Otherwise they would tell what is jhana. Mm. Just begin with what is that? What is it? So that we can continue more and more. If one doesn't know what jhana is, what was one doing?
And I think we have to understand that the Buddha taught the development of insight for monks who have developed jhana and for monks who are following dutangas.
And how many monks follow dutanga and how many monks follow jhana?
Jhana. Just minority.
Mm-hmm. And can we be one of them? Like them.
But he didn't advocate that people who wish to develop the path should also develop
Never.
Jhana or follow dutangas.
Never. Because vipassana jhana is not jhana. It is mahakusala citta with right understanding. All jhanas, all vipassana jhana is that mahakusala. Jnana Sampayuttam. Kusala Citta with right understanding of different levels. He was enlightened from his accumulation of Panya, right understanding. So everyone cannot just doing something without right understanding at all. That's not the Buddha's words. So, what is right understanding? Every word should be studied carefully. Is there right understanding now? Must be now. Otherwise, it cannot develop at all. So, it's not just reading the words, but realities are now. Like in the Buddha's time, he taught those who came to see him about what was there. Not to do anything, but to understand what is now, what is there. No one can do anything at all. Seeing is conditioned. So, understand seeing. Because seeing is now, hearing, thinking, and so on. Not to do anything but to understand whatever appears. What appears now? That? No. Before Ajahn. Before Ajahn.
Thinking of image.
After thinking. Or before thinking, it depends.
Visible object, maybe.
Yeah. Even just one reality is not known. It appears all one's life, but it's not known as it's a reality. No one can condition it arising at all, but it's there by conditions.
And just one more thing to say about Dutanga, unless I missed it having been said already. When the Buddha spoke about Dutanga, he was referring to Kusala Citta, of course.
Certainly.
Yes. So for the person who doesn't know Kusala Citta from Akusala Citta, they wouldn't be able to...
They don't know what Dutanga is.
No. And for someone who hasn't already developed Dutanga previously, but just thinks the idea of doing so sounds appealing, it wouldn't be Kusala Citta.
Appealing to ignorance,
yeah.
Because no understanding. And usually what is appealing is to Akusala.
Some people also have the natural inclination, I'm not saying it's kusala, but to take the hard road to asceticism, to
where?
Any kind of, yeah, well.
Yeah.
No pain, no gain.
So then someone may almost starve themselves and think they're following a Dutanga practice that will lead to enlightenment, but no understanding at all.
Why not read Dutanga in Visuddhimagga? So explain all about Dutanga.
Right. And I think you've mentioned that in the time between when the Bodhisattva left the home life and time of enlightenment and went through certain ascetic practices, that this was not the development of the path. Part of the development of the path, is that right?
Because of the accumulation that one should have perseverance in order to understand reality. But not with wrong view, but perseverance is needed. He thought like that.
So when the Bodhisattva was doing his practice of so many grains of rice a day and that sort of thing.
Great perseverance.
Perseverance.
But no misunderstanding, no wrong understanding.
But not yet right understanding of the path, not yet vipassana jnana or enlightenment.
And of course he realized that, that was not the way. Then that's when he abandoned that practice and attained enlightenment. That's why when he approached the five ascetics, they thought that he had reverted. He had slid away from the life of an ascetic because he had put on weight and looked normal. And they thought he must have fallen from the path.
There was not Dutanga then? Would he eating? No.
So Dutanga is those who listen to the teachings, mm-hmm. and understand one's own accumulation, that whatever one does is according to the accumulation. So he has accumulation to leave the hope, the going to the forest and so on, according to whatever Dutanga he observes. Like you and me and anyone.
So the idea that Buddhist Sata was having in eating just some grains of grains a day.
Just thought at that moment that it could lead to enlightenment because of perseverance.
And that is not wrong understanding?
Without any wrong understanding at all. Otherwise he couldn't become enlightened.
But when he was thinking that by having...
He or we. See, we think different from him.
If a person thinks, well, I will try this and see the result, that doesn't indicate necessarily wrong view.
And if one tries now, it doesn't mean that one have fully accumulated of understanding enough.
And when he taught the Dhamma, he didn't tell other people to follow his example,
to live like that for so long on a few grains of rice and then to sit under the tree. So we should look at what he taught the path to be, not try to copy or imitate the lifestyle of the Buddha or Mahakasapa.
Before his enlightenment, some of those practices were would seem to us so extreme, like holding his breath for a long, long time till his head felt he was going to explode. Really, practices that would seem wrong practice. But I'm hearing what you're saying this morning, Khunsu Jin, that it's done with right understanding. And initially, when I heard that, I thought, But because it's the Bodhisattva, this is what he needed to do.
It's not time to become enlightened yet.
No.
That's why it goes along with conditions.
Yeah. And I have heard also it said that past Buddhas from leaving home to enlightenment was only quite a short phase, that this was also to do with karma, that there were conditions in this Buddha Gautama's last life that he needed to do these seven. Well, it was a lot to do with karma and vipaka. Have you come across?
I think that each life is different by conditions, each moment.
Hmm.
One tries to think about the others, how much one knows about that person. Impossible. Very little. Because even here, do you know much about realities, your own accumulation? Each move.
I was just thinking about previous Buddhas. There is often a lot of similarities between past Buddhas and the present Buddha.
The path must be the same,
yes,
but the lights were different.
Yes, yeah.
And the teachings are the same, but the amount of detail given is different, and so the length of the sasana is different, but so some factors in common. The teaching, but the details about how much was taught and how long the paramis were developed for and the details about the Vinaya, I think, are different. And Sundra mentioned that at the airport in Vietnam you were discussing about the value of studying paccaya, studying conditions.
Of everything.
Yeah. And I was saying that I was sure that when you're referring to the study, you meant like now, like understanding conditions at this moment, not just book study, but we were discussing about the value of book study as well as studying now. But I think whatever paccaya one's reading about, whether jhana paccaya, nissaya paccaya, it has to come back to understanding Dharma now as conditioned, because that's the purpose. Would you say something more about studying paccaya?
It's so very, very difficult to understand the teachings of the Buddha correctly, rightly, perfectly. And he knew that it's so hard, so very difficult to have people understand his words. That's why he taught in details, in everything, about everything. Even seeing right now, see, or the word Dhamma. He said that Dhamma is that which is real. If there's no reality, how can he become enlightened? Or any Buddha, any one of the Buddha. So it means that the Buddha enlightened what ever appears just then. The one which has seen has gone, and the future one hasn't come yet. And it is just this very moment. And who can understand this moment, just this moment, as not self? Seeing, hearing, thinking. That's why he taught of each reality in detail so much that can condition right understanding of no self at all. Void of self, of all realities. By understanding Dhamma as it's real, it appears, it has to arise, otherwise it cannot appear. And as soon as it has arisen, it falls away instantly. Who knows? So before there can be the idea of things and people and room and everything, there must be only seeing. Seeing cannot see people and things at all. What it can see is that which appears at moment of seeing. Close your eyes. Where are all these people and these things? Nothing. So one has to think about it. What appears now? It's real. It's a reality. Where is it? It is with the four primary rupas. Without the four primary rupas, then cannot be that special rupa which can impinge only on the ibis. And without the kamma, seeing cannot arise, because seeing is vipaka, it's the result of kamma. But who knows what kamma conditions this moment of seeing, of that which appears. When it's pleasant, it's the object of the result of kusala kamma. When it's not pleasant, it's the object of the... When it's not unpleasant, it's the object of akusala kamma. Who can arrange it? Who can make it? Who can have it arise? No one at all. That's why there must be the beginning of understanding Dhamma as anatta. No one, no self. Otherwise, without right understanding, everything is me or mine or theirs or hers or his all the time. So learn to understand just one word at a time so that it can build up more and more confidence of Dhamma is Dhamma, only one Dhamma. Like seeing is seeing. Seeing cannot be hearing. Seeing cannot be thinking. Hearing is hearing. Thinking is thinking. Attachment is attachment. By understanding Dhamma in details, it can condition right understanding of no one, no self, no being. That's why we taught also about Pajjaya. For those who can understand correctly, more and more and more and more, as Pariyatti, only level of intellectual understanding or book study. Not Patipatti yet.
And yesterday when we had our discussion amongst ourselves, we were talking about how Pariyatti has to be right understanding. It has to be Kusala Citta with right understanding. So one cannot say that any book study is Pariyatti. It has to be the moment of understanding, wise considering about reality now. Otherwise, it's just reading with ignorance and attachment, or clinging more to details or ideas of oneself. So it's important that one appreciates that it is about right understanding now, otherwise it cannot lead to Patipatti.
For example, there is the word Dhamma in books. Who understand that? One would say it's the teachings of the Buddha. But what about? Just name, seeing, hearing, and so on, but not knowing that it has to be at this very moment.
Yesterday we also talked about the any moment of vipaka is conditioned by karma, but also conditioned by bhagatu upanisaya pachaya. And I think it makes sense a lot that we can consider that any moment it's...
I think that instead of trying to pinpoint in detail, what about understanding that this moment is conditioned? If you want to say by what pajya? By pakatupanisya pajya, only that. See, so learning about pajya, conditions, doesn't mean that. At this moment of seeing, it can help to understand seeing by thinking of the name of pajya, by what pajya. But at this moment of seeing, there is that which is seen. We don't have to call it by being aramana pajya. And if there is no understanding of the characteristic of the reality which is seen, we just recite, it is aramana pajya. So even one word, aramana pajya, that which is seen is a condition for the arising of citta by being aramana, the object of seeing. To understand that very moment, rather than try to know more about whether it is aramanupanisya pajya or what pajya it is. But we learn in order to have less clinging to whatever reality appears. Because we have the understanding of without pajya, it cannot arise at all. Nothing can arise without pajya. It can condition moment of abandoning from taking whatever appears as somebody, something. Because that is the beginning of understanding whatever appears now is only that which can be seen. And this is pakatupanisya pajya, because pakatupanisya covers everything, natural. Nisya support.
It was very interesting to me to learn about that, because I didn't know that even at what is being experienced now through the five doors, it's also conditioned by accumulations. Then I think it makes much more sense to understand whatever happening now is both by karma and accumulations.
But not with attachment to know.
Yes.
This is the most important thing, because attachment is very tricky. It can come in anytime, anywhere, like the space in between the kalapa. Is it now? Yes. Who knows?
And that's the point. There's always the trap of lobha. So moments of study, moments of lobha, wishing to know, wanting to know, then no pariyatti at those moments. So it is very subtle traps at each moment. But it can be known, it can be understood as well.
And only panya can know. That's why developing panya, or the highly developed panya, can eradicate lobha. If there is no understanding that this moment there is lobha, how to eradicate it? So no Buddha before, follow him. Otherwise, one thing that one know Buddha, but one does not understand his words, very deep, very true. So how can one follow?
But we need the Buddha teaching.
Yes. When there is the understanding of the word of the teaching, one knows that he, that person who taught, must be the Buddha only. We don't mind what his name, the time he was, but his word indicates his wisdom, as he is the enlightenment. But if you don't study carefully, you don't know him. It's not just simple word, very easy to follow, not like that at all.
But I suppose
suppose one can contrast the topics that came up in the discussion yesterday evening with the idea that one should, at the other extreme, systematically study the Abhidhamma and conditions and that sort of thing. So in a discussion like now, these matters come up that one might not normally think about, and one learns about different aspects of the teachings. So that's different from someone who sets out to deepen their knowledge of the teachings by some kind of application.
That doesn't work.
I mean, even sometimes when I think, okay, I don't try to read this, I don't get it.
Yeah.
But just naturally, yes. Sometimes by natural interest, or when we discuss like this, some point I haven't heard before becomes very enlightening.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, but any time when there's trying just for, okay, gaining something, it doesn't work at all.
Yeah.
The question from Vietnam had many points, the Dutanga, but after that, was it about the perfections? Or?
It was an idea about Dutangas being a support for the development of Adhitana, Parami, and other Paramis.
Oh, yes, yes.
So, what is Adhitana?
Adhitana is
resolution or determination, but it's at a moment of understanding. There is Adhitana because one understands what is to be known, so there is Adhitana at that moment, so it has to develop with right understanding of reality. It's not just having a resolution or determination to become enlightened, something like that. Because with no understanding, it cannot be Adhitana. But at a moment of understanding the truth, it's clear what is the way, what is the way that has to be developed. But please add more.
So, is there Adhidhana right now? Or is it Adhidhana right now?
Too weak. Not strong enough.
For some people and none for some. Who knows?
And the question to Kai was about seeing what he sees. And he said, Ajahn, but it shows for all of us who have that so common that Pariyatti is not yet developed enough to see all the visible objects. It's still weak.
It is the beginning of understanding the wisdom of the Buddha, and to be truthful to oneself how much there is the understanding of that which is now seen.
Yes.
And Adhidhana too.
And I think that if one wasn't interested or one didn't really see the value of understanding about dhammas and understanding dhammas as anatta, one wouldn't be here. So being here and having the interest and the understanding enough to listen and consider and see the value of knowing more about life at this moment, I think Adhitana must be there. Otherwise there wouldn't be that understanding and wholesome chanda and viri at this moment. Yeah.
So one knows oneself whether there is Adhidhana right now to understand seeing and that which is seen. So it depends.
Yeah. And different moments, also moments of lobha, so it depends on each moment, and only Panya can know when it arises, when it appears.
Yes. And yesterday, Sarah brought up a very good point. We were talking about even studying Dhamma, talking about Dhamma with the idea of self. And Sarah said, and even if you try to find out when there is a self, it's still the wrong way.
And only Panya can see it. Otherwise, no one, ignorance cannot understand that.
Difficult if you say only Panya can see, but where is Panya? Where and when?
Adidana Parami is at this moment. Not at the moment at all. Only in a moment.
When in Vietnam, Achan talked a lot about Adidana resolution, and from what I understood when hearing Achan explain about that, is that without right understanding, any idea of Adidana would be for myself, with myself.
But now, any moment can be Adidana Parami, because it has to be known as not self in order to eradicate idea of self, which is wrong understanding.
For sure, if there's looking for it, it's not Adidana Parami then.
Do you see the Buddha begin to know who he was? Even Adidana, see, to what? To understand seeing as seeing yourself. To understand that which is seen as no one, only a reality which can be seen.
It seems so far off, but even when I think this, I know it's this loba and self. Yeah.
The more studying, the more understanding, the more far away it is. This is the only way to abandoning the attachment. Otherwise, attachment, wish or will is always there. And it gets further and further. Until there's no wish, no attachment, Panya can understand reality as conditioned moment.
But no wish is very difficult.
Very, very difficult. It took how long to become Buddha and how long to become Savaka?
Vietnam, you also talked about charita, and I think I'm still not clear about that, because in the Visuddhimagga they mentioned about the charita and which kind of object or it's more suitable for which charita. So why, if charita is something that is can be known at each moment and it's everyone has different charitas depending on each moment, why there is that mentioning of that? What is the point?
Do you have just one charita?
It depends on each moment.
So it
sometimes
must be one's own understanding that it's all about the previous behavior from life to life, which is unknown. But you see that if people would like to know one's charita, they try to follow what is said, that this is for this kind of charita and that kind is charita. That is wrong, because it's not right from the very, very beginning. By having the object and attached to what, one can know what charita of what object. For example, breath for whom? Object for whom?
Panya.
So you forget that? Or if it happened? So you see, can you know about your own accumulation? It's not just to guess, speculate, but to understand that which appears, that which has been accumulated.
So in terms of what you're saying about objects suitable for different charita, that would have to be understood in terms of perhaps likely to arise, rather than to be selected for a particular
very
study.
Good point.
And if I'm not mistaken, in terms of breath, it says suitable for all charitas. But then we have in another section, breath is only for those of, sons of the Buddha.
And his son, Mahapurusa, not only him.
Yeah.
But don't It's not matter to be one of those people or not. It depends on conditions so that you can abandoning the idea of self because it's conditioned to arise.
So the Buddha described all realities. So described those who have that, those accumulations to be Mahapurusa and or to have breath as object and those who have a lot of lobha. And so he described all kinds of dhammas, all kinds of realities, just cittas, cetasikas and rupas, but not so that someone should try to find out the charita or focus on this object, but just to describe what is real, what appears at this moment, depending on accumulations, different moments.
Does breath appear now? No. So what is appearing should be object of understanding.
So when something appears to consciousness, it's also the moment of vipaka, right?
What is vipaka?
Vipaka, it's the result of karma.
Yes, but what reality is vipaka?
It's seeing consciousness or hearing consciousness.
Citta and cetasikas. And what's the question?
So when do they say that something appears to be the object at that moment, like now a visible object appears, so that moment is the moment of vipaka.
Seeing is vipaka.
Seeing, yes, is vipaka. So when, let's say, when breath appears or another object appears, that is also the moment of vipaka then?
There must be citta which experiences that object.
Mm-hmm.
And if we think about vipaka, at that moment it's not the understanding of the nature of reality which appears.
So just I'm linking with the Bhagavata Upanishaya Pachaya, because there must be also accumulations so that object is the object of consciousness.
No matter whatever, understanding that which is not self, which sees, or that which is not self, which is seen. Different realities.
And also understand that when Ajahn says what appears now, she's asking about what appears to be present. Of course, visible object must be arising now because there is seeing, but it doesn't mean we can say that visible object appears now, because what appears may be people and things, or thinking, or something else. What appears to attention, one's attention, naturally without thinking about it. So in terms of breath...
So what would appear naturally then is concept. I mean, it's if we say that it's naturally appearing, before that concept there must be visible object.
Right.
Yeah.
But it doesn't mean visible object.
So we call breath, what is there?
What I found so helpful about breath is I was told that even when you hold your breath in conventional sense, it's still citta which produces breath, so that stops one from trying, and that it really doesn't appear even when you hold your breath in conventional sense, because it seems that in general people confuse the conventional word of breath and the reality, the rupa, which is produced by citta.
Also, when you're talking about breath, you'd have to distinguish between in and out breathing, which is the conceptual object of samatha, and breath, the reality that if it were the object of satipatthana.
And when you mentioned at a moment of seeing, which experiences visible object, but breath doesn't arise at that moment. Not even arise, because seeing doesn't condition breath.
breath. So citta conditions breath. And breath's a reality. Is it a galapa of rupa or one part of a galapa? What is breath?
Reality. Hardness, softness, the four primary rupas, which can be known at moment of touching, like other tangible objects. Exactly the same. But you have the idea of breath because it's the rupa which is conditioned by citta, while the other softness and hardness, you cannot tell whether it is conditioned by kamma, citta, uttu, or ahara.
Okay, so maybe I'm confused with breath, thinking that breath is something special, that it is just a rupa.
Actually, it's hardness, softness, the eight indivisible rupas conditioned by citta, not by kamma, not by uttu, not by ahara. But now when hardness appears, it cannot be known as this. It's conditioned by kamma or citta, uttu or ahara. But for breath, it has to be conditioned by citta.
Citta only. It's a very difficult one.
He is the Buddha.
And it doesn't matter anyway, because
if there's awareness of hardness, awareness of softness, it's just a dharma. That's gone immediately, so it's not important, because the purpose of the teachings is just understanding what appears as anatta, not any particular one or any selection. So softness is softness. It doesn't matter what condition the softness, it's just that dhamma which appears and then is gone.
Otherwise it's more clinging.
One's trying to find the one conditioned by the conditioned by details, something like that.
Can I ask you about rupa conditioned by citta? It's the eight indivisible are indivisible rupas are conditioned by citta, and the last 17 times
all kinds of rupa last 17 times.
But the three that, which are produced by only by citta, which are vikara, rupa, vikara.
Only citta. Yeah.
How many kalapa?
Uncountable. Uncountable.
How many rupas in a kalapa produced by citta? 8 or 11?
For breath. Because there are many kalapas, not the same number.
Minimum 8.
It's not to be counted when it appears.
So, is there any relations between the breath as the realities and the conceptual breath?
When there is no direct understanding of breath as the reality, which is hard or soft, heat or cold, at that moment there is the idea of breath. I am breathing, my breath, even if it's not now and here, but there is the idea of I have breath.
I think what Thumb may be asking, if I'm not mistaken, is the person who has developed samatha with breathing as object and who also develops satipatthana.
Like now? Breathing as object?
Not for me.
I mean that breath is still breath, no matter for the one who develops samatha or just now.
Right. But the hypothetical person who does develop samatha with breath as object and who also develops satipatthana, the question is, would that person be more likely disposed? No. Okay.
It is just because usually for the conceptual meaning of breath, there must be reality related to that. So I just want to know what is the reality of the breath. And because usually normal people say without the breath, if one person doesn't breathe, it means that person is not alive. So I wonder what kind of the conceptual breath and the reality of breath, how does it affect what is people call life?
Because citta conditions it. If there is no citta, there will never be breath.
I think what she means is that...
Okay, so we know that the reality breath is conditioned at almost every, by almost every citta in life, completely unknown. But there's also the conventional idea, like people know conventionally that without breath there's no life, and there is a conventional idea of taking a breath and holding one's breath. And so her question is, how is this conventional idea, like holding a breath or taking a breath, related to the absolute reality of breath conditioned at every moment? Why do we come to have this idea?
Is that correct?
That's why we should know what is breath.
So is breath experienced as hardness or softness?
Breath itself is hard or soft. Hot or cold. Like any tangible object.
Okay.
Because actually it's only tangible object, but it is conditioned by citta. That's so different from other tangible object, which is conditioned by kamma, uttu, and ahara. And even just a moment of touching, nobody can tell the rupa which is touched, whether it's conditioned by kamma or citta or uttu and ahara, but from breath it's just by citta. But it's not like the conventional breath. Different from that. That's why we should understand the breath itself. Exactly breath, not what we take for breath. The exact breath is conditioned by citta. So it's not known now. But people have the idea of I'm breathing. I have breath. So I is there doing something in and out, like lifting one's hand up, put one's hand down, exactly the same. Exercise breath with the idea of I am breathing. But that is not the actual breath which is conditioned by citta. Because as soon as it has arisen, it falls away instantly. So it's not that which is long or short. So the vipassanayana, or the understanding of reality, must be the arising and falling away of that particular reality, which is the object, not like the whole breathing in and out.
So the understanding that can know whether an experience through the body sense is conditioned by which of the four factors would have to be highly developed understanding?
No, not at all. Because only a reality is the object of understanding, no thinking about it. Different moments of citta arising and falling away in series, continuously. So how can there be the understanding of that particular one? Because what appears now is nimitta of everything. Nimitta of visible object, nimitta of feeling, nimitta of sanya, memory, nimitta of sankhara, and nimitta of vijnana. It cannot appear just one. So very rapidly.
Well, I think earlier you mentioned vipassana jnana.
Vipassana jnana also experienced the nimitta.
And it's not the same.
Cannot be just one. Impossible.
But not the same way of nimitta than when it is the object of...
For example, right now, there is seeing. You do not think about thinking and feeling and hearing and develop the understanding of seeing. Can it be one seeing? Or processes of many processes of seeing and many processes in between seeing is there. But begins to develop the understanding of that which appears as it is, as only seeing. Only seeing doesn't mean only one moment of seeing, but the nimitta of seeing.
Right. No, I didn't mean one moment of hardness. I meant the hardness that is conditioned by different factors. Knowing the conditioning factors of the hardness that appears now, that would require a high level of understanding.
Usually Buddha taught about that which appear and is known in daily life as it is, not doing anything. So now we can distinguish between hardness at the arm and the breath to know that they are different conditions. Is breath like a tangible object at the arm, leg? See? So Buddha just thought about whatever is there to be known as what conditioned it. And breath is different from other tangible object because it's conditioned by citta.
Because I'm going to ask a question, but I don't know enough about that. But from what I heard and read here and there, not so precisely, about the development of samatha with breath and object. So they talked about the sensation that can be experienced through the nostril. And then after that, there appears the nimitta. So in that case, it is also the characteristic of like hardness or softness that can be experienced, right?
So can we understand by superficial study or study carefully of what it is and go on? So what is samatha?
Kusala?
Who knows it is calm?
Panya?
Panya knows. So panya can see the distinction between kusala and akusala. So it's not just anyone would like to concentrate on breath and say that one is developing samatha. That's wrong. Why? No understanding of what conditions such understanding or idea of samatha. Just take it. Samatha is calm. It is kusala. That's not enough. Because why not this moment be the development of samatha? Even kusala arises and falls away in between akusala moments. That's not enough to think that one is developing samatha.
And I think we sometimes forget that samatha is not having a particular object. It is the way the object is contemplated.
Yeah, I think the thing I wanted to ask about is when we talk about breath, conventional breath, it's a in and out, right? Mm-hmm. But if in the description of the development of samatha, now it said, we agree that the basic is the understanding. So no question about
some
that.
Some might not agree. They don't have any understanding. So do we agree?
We agree correctly. Samatha means
yes.
There must be understanding.
I mean that samatha is calm, right? Mm-hmm. Moment of kusala. Mm-hmm. We don't talk about the development of calm yet. We just talk about what calm is. Okay. It has to be kusala citta. For sure. Is there kusala citta now? Nobody can deny that it's sometimes with a kusala in between. But that is not the development of samatha. But it is samatha.
Just moments of samatha.
So one has to understand from the very beginning what one does depending on what purpose to develop calmness. See, can one do it?
And I think Ajahn's point is that
It doesn't matter what the object is. If the citta is kusala, whether it falls under anapanasati,
not or yet,
dhammanusati, because or maranasati, is quite beside the point.
Not yet, because you see that it's only understanding or reading from book about the object of samatha. But what is the understanding of samatha and the development of samatha? It's not just read and take one object and think that I'm developing samatha. That's wrong. No understanding of what samatha is. That's why we have to understand samatha. First of all, is there samatha now? At any moment of kusala is calm. No one can deny. But is it the development of samatha? No. Why not? There must be reason for everything, for every word of the teachings, in order to really don't get lost with ignorance and wrong understanding. So we are not developing samatha, but there are samatha at any moment, at kusala moments. Why not? Why not? It's the development of samatha.
Because there's the self. I think I'm doing it, developing this, so it's a certain volition or trying, rather than what is the natural arising. And this leads to the question that at the moment that I think I'm experiencing samatha, there is thinking and self there, so it's nimitta, the moment has passed, that citta has passed.
Can you tell the moment which is kusala and akusala now?
Panya, no.
I mean, one is doing, so one, no matter who. Suppose it's Kunsundra or you. Do you understand the moment of kusala as akusala and moment of kusala as kusala right now? If not, nobody can develop samatha. So it needs panya at level of not knowing that it's a reality, but just know what is moment of kusala and what is moment of akusala. If there is no panya of this level, it's impossible to develop samatha. Because one knows that samatha is moment of kusala.
And Tiny Tam, with regard to your question about the conventional idea of breathing and the reality, it's a little bit like sound. If you ask anyone, they know that sounds are heard, but the conventional idea of sound is not the reality of sound that appears at this moment, and it's taken for I hear a sound, and a sound of birds or a sound of this or that. So the idea, the conventional idea of sound is not the reality of sound, but it's related. If there wasn't the reality of sound, there wouldn't be this idea about sound of birds, for example. In the same way, if there wasn't the reality of breath, there wouldn't be the conventional idea of breath, but it's not the reality.
For me, it's difficult to see the relations, because how we know breath, usually through maybe the something here at the nose, hand, the like a cornice, or sometimes the vibration of the stomach, and we think it's breath.
But that's actually an idea, not the reality that is conditioned at almost every moment in life.
So it means we cannot say, for example, when we think we are holding the breath, but it doesn't mean in reality there's no breath, right?
Right. There must be breath at each moment, even at those moments when we think that's holding the breath. Actually, it's citta's conditioning breath all the time. Otherwise, there wouldn't be life. So only 16 citta's that can't condition breath.
Right, that's by way of thinking, of course. But I think Thumb's question is, when we're holding the breath, there's no conventional breath appearing. She's asking about conventional breath, how it appears. Now, you may have read about the rise and fall of the stomach or air going in and out of nostril tip, but if you put that aside, because you've read it in the Visuddhimagga, and you ask yourself what is conventional breathing, you wouldn't necessarily give that answer. Conventional breath, we would just say like wind coming in and out through the nose or something like that, or maybe the rise and fall of the chest, if asked conventionally.
So it means that breath now, which is conditioned by citta, is not known.
We spoke a moment ago about every jitta conditions breath,
except
seeing, hearing. That was going to be my question. Okay, you've answered it.
And the first moment,
Patisanti,
and the last moment of Arahata,
Jyoti.
And the last moment,
Rupa Brahma Vipaka.
We don't have to be concerned.
Yeah.
I'd like to get back to Ajahn's. What she was saying was that the key thing for samatha, any kind of samatha, is moments of kusala. So knowing moment of kusala from agusala now is the condition, is the prerequisite in a sense for
without
the development of samatha.
Without that kind of panya, it's impossible to develop samatha.
And then once that kind of panya develops, it knows what kind of objects condition the calm
limited,
when it becomes more developed.
Limited object too. Why? See, there must be reason when we read carefully.
Right. But initially, it doesn't matter. It can be any object. It doesn't have to be one of the 40 for kusala and panya to arise. Yes. There can be calm, the calm of samatha, with any object as object, with any concept as object. Because it's not the concept that matters, it's the way of thinking about the concept.
Like the chocolate cake. Think
object of
Dana. But can it be samatha bhavana?
I didn't say bhavana. I said
just kusala
jitta.
Okay. And then, yeah, and what it means is because at any moment of
kusala there is calm samatha,
but not the
no, just
calm.
Calm in daily life, moments of
be any
samatha.
Any object can be object of calm when it is kusala, but not all object can be object of samatha bhavana.
Right. But first, there has to be the knowing of the difference between kusala and agusala with any object before there can be the development of
because this is panya which can know, not I know.
Very very low level, very not precisely, like when people start doing like dana or helping others, they can some people might see that the moments are different from other moments. They don't know it very precisely, but it's how it starts, right?
So they don't know Buddha. They follow the other's words, not the Buddha's words.
I just want to clarify something. When we were talking about breath being conditioned by jitta, and dutti jitta was one that didn't. Is that dutti jitta of anyone or
of
just
arahata?
Of
and Alberto, when you were mentioning the
vikara rupas with regard to breath, so because almost every moment jitta conditions breath, so it means not just kalapas with vikara rupas.
Yeah. I'm not sure about the name, but there is some rupa conditioned by citta, which is only conditioned by citta, not by other factors. Is it true? Is it right? Am I right?
Kaya
vinyati and vachivinyati. And this only lasts one moment of the moment of
follow away with citta.
Yeah, not 17 moments. Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah, that was my question, but I couldn't remember the name. Vinyatis. Yeah.
I don't know if you were with us before once.
Gangarjan, when we went through all the different kalapas conditioned by Chitta, so some with Kaya Vinyati and Vachi Vinyati, and some with the Vikara Rupas, and some without Vikara Rupa, or just 8 Rupas. So depending.
Talk about now. Depends on understanding how much it is.
Now, but actually thinking about now, right?
And now is Dhamma, and thinking is Dhamma. See? All realities are Dhammas, different ones. Otherwise, there must be the idea of I in samsara, on and on and on. But when there's the understanding of reality, it can just eliminate the idea of self little by little, gradually. When there is understanding. Is there breath now?
Yes.
It's conditioned, the rupa, which is conditioned by citta.
So now?
Yeah. At a certain place.
But because we don't know it.
Right. No one knows. When it does not appear, even when it appears, I am breathing, see, not understanding that which is conditioned by citta, which arises and falls away instantly. Can ignorance understand anything now?
No.
Impossible.
But ignorant can think that it understands.
It depends on it arises with what type of citta?
Lobha.
With wrong will. Are you still interested in breath? It does not appear.
I'm not going to pick it up as a subject for the future.
Whatever appears should be known, because it arises and falls away in split seconds. If it's not known, it's not known forever.
You said that because it's not known now, right?
It can be known now. If it does not, if it is not known now, it will be the object which is unknown forever.
Until it's known.
Until there is the hearing of the truth of whatever appears as it is, it might not be from this Buddha, maybe the next one, long, long time to be. And if there is no understanding right now, it's like previous lives, not being able to understand the teachings, even it's heard.
So that which is not known now, at the moment of arising, will not be known forever because it has already fallen away, mm-hmm. and it will not arise again. Something other will arise.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And it's not known again.
Thank you.
And even this is anatta. Even this, not even the not knowing is still anatta.
And the ignorance,
for example, the ignorance of visible object being appearing now, being seen now, that ignorance is accumulating. Not only is the visible object never known because it's gone, but the ignorance is accumulating even now.
And truthfulness is parami, one parami. It's needed. Otherwise, there cannot be the understanding of the teachings.
And that's why all the teachings, all the pariyatti has to come back to now and this moment, because it's the only time there can ever be any understanding.
Well, something that is not now.
It's now. Even you ask and think that it's not now, it's now.
It's about rebirth.
anywhere is now.
Yeah. Rivers in the awful plane, and it is the citta, which is the santirana citta.
And akusala vipaka.
Akusala vipaka. Because I understand when I read about the rebirth in other planes, but for the process, citta process for being reborn in other planes with that santirana citta, I'm still not clear. So can you please explain?
When akusala citta arises before death, it conditions the santirana akusala vipaka to perform the function of bodhisanti citta. Mm-hmm. By conditions, so, by one karma.
So before that, there must be the javana citta. The javana citta, which is akusala before that.
Yeah, conditioned by one karma.
So why is it called the santirana citta and not sampatichana citta? Why is it precisely that
and
one?
And why do you ask this question?
Because I don't understand.
Because they have the same jetasikas arising with them, right?
Yeah.
Sampatichana number and the same jetasikas.
Mm-hmm.
But why not sampatichana? That mm-hmm. will arise after death, only the santirana. This is very delicate point. But you see that citta arises even at different vattu, can condition different result. Because from seeing, which arises at the eye base, the other cittas which follow arise at the heart base. See, how come? So the first moment which follow the seeing consciousness is sampatichana. It's not as stable enough like santirana, which follows it. That's why among the seven akusala vipaka, only the santirana can condition the can perform the function of bodhisanti citta. Even just that, in a moment, different base.
So one kind of citta
can have different functions, like yesterday we were talking about the Manodwara Vajjana citta can have the function of Bodhapanna in the sense door process. So here, the Santirana, not the Sampatichana, because as Jan said, it's not firm enough, but the Santirana can have this function of birth consciousness. Yeah.
But why do we talk about this? Just to see the anattaness, to be conditioned from hearing until it's stable, more confidence that there's no self at all. Even from hearing, Pariyati, not the beginning of Patipati yet. But without this, there's no conditions for satipatthana, the patipatti, will arise.
And I think it can help just to
consider that all the different kinds of birth arising because of so many different conditions and different kind of functions that condition it to be that way at that time. So just to understand the subtle details to, in order to really understand these different dharmas arising by particular causes, can be helpful.
I have to consider a bit more I have to consider this a bit more a difficult point, that even the vattu changes, it's no more the chaku vattu, but the other vattus are bases after seeing consciousness, and how they condition rebirths are different. I didn't quite get the point.
So please say it again so that we can clarify that.
I think, Nina, the point was that
because moment of seeing arises at eye base, and then the next citta arises at heart. Different base, at heart base.
Yes.
But because it's the first citta after it's arising at a different base, yes, it's not firm or strong enough. But the following citta,
yes,
arises at heart base. By that, yes, point, it's like it's established. Yes. So it's firmer.
Firmer.
It's,
yeah,
like a sort,
clear,
of change of lineage or, yeah, change of vatu.
Yeah. And that conditions, well, the santhiana which can perform
the function of rebirth. And but the first one, because it's the first one arising at Hadiawatu, is not firmly established.
Yes, yes, that's clear. Yeah.
Mean that before that there's experiences through the sense doors, right before that?
Both experience the same doorway, sampaditana and santirana.
I mean, it's...
You mean when it performs a function of patisanti?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
You're asking that? She's asking
that. It's the result it does need.
Because it's, why is it called, it's very particular, santirana citta? Why can it cannot
even
be called?
Even you don't it, call it,
tadalampana. The
you mean
registering
the
function consciousness
of santirana, or what?
Yeah, I mean in the sequence of the citta.
Because you're thinking that because this particular citta in the sense door processes arises at that point and has that function, so you're thinking that's how it should be at a moment of birth. But it's one's talking about a kind of citta with a particular, with a different function in this case. So one citta can have different functions. So when it has the function of investigating in the sense door process, it has to arise at that point. But when it has a different function here, the function of birth, then it doesn't arise in that sequence. It arises at that first moment of life. Just like Manodwara Vajana, when it has the function of being the first citta in the mind or process averting to the consciousness, it has to arise at that particular moment before the kusala or akusala cittas. But when it arises in sense door process, it has to be preceded by those other sense door cittas because it has a different function at that moment. It depends on the function at the time of arising.
That's why Buddha pointed out how many citta can perform how many functions.
So the citta can perform both the function of
five functions.
Investigating, patisanti.
Three patisanti for one citta, the dhalambana.
Ah, okay, the same
and
the dhalambana. And after being reborn in the lower planes, this is called the spontaneous rebirth, right?
Depending on the birth, four kinds, in the womb or in...
Yeah. It can be also animal then?
It depends on what type or what kind of animal. Worms.
So the object of the new citta, like the rebirth, like the Bantisandhi citta in
the same as the cittas before death of previous life, of past life.
So for the human realm, for example, we know that it's not the object of this world of the six doors. What about for the other realms? Like for
the same.
The animal also?
When karma conditioned citta before death to experience such object with such cetasikas, akusala or kusala.
So why they don't call it bhavanga citta, like in the case of for human being?
Bhavanga citta after birth, no matter in what plane.
Even in animal, they call that bhavanga citta too?
After patisanti citta must be bhavanga followed. Same kind, same type, same result of same karma. Not to see yet, not to hear yet, just perform the function of bhavanga.
But in the case of being reborn in the human or higher planes, is it the Mahavibhaga citta which performs that function?
of Patisanticitta. Just one moment, and there is Pavanga.
And why is it not the Kusala Santirana?
Not enough time yet.
Can you say more?
Not ready to arise, because you see that there must be Panchatvara Vachana and there must be Pavanga before Panchatvara Vachana. Impossible not to have Pavanga keep on being that person, life continuum, until seeing, hearing other vipaka.
I would need to hear more.
Why did you think that there were not Pavanga cheetahs in, say, animal realms after the...
Maybe I misread somewhere. Okay, now, so let's say that there are Pavanga cheetah in both cases, but in the, we know that the Mahakusala cheetah vipaka performed the function of Patisanti in this realm, but the Akusala, the Santirana cheetah that achieves Akusala performed the function
in... When Santirana and Sampatichana arise, they're vipaka cheetahs, so we can say it's Kusala Akusala vipaka because it's a result of past Kusala Akusala, but it's just vipaka, it's not Kusala or Akusala. So yes. Santirana is not Kusala.
So why the Santirana cheetah, which is the result of Kusala karma, cannot perform the function of Patisanti in
the world of pain? Because it is Kusala, result of Kusala. Only Santirana Kusala Vipaka can condition the birth in human being as without eyes, ears, blind, to be blind, or deaf.
Yeah. Okay, so in the case of the rootless Ahituka, rebirth, so then it's that it's the Kusala, the result of Kusala Kama, which is,
just good enough not to be born in wolf pain.
I see the point, because it's a very strong karma, good karma to condition the rebirth in human or higher realms, whereas the weaker kind of kusala. Okay, now it makes sense.
And before we were having a discussion with Sundro and maybe Nina about Ahetuka cheetahs, so at moments in the animal realms we know that birth is rootless, without roots, and also in these exceptional cases in the human realms. And I think the question was, if the birth is rootless, Ahetuka, how can Kusala arise? Was that what we were discussing?
Yeah, I'm just trying to remember. I think part of my query, Ajahn, was we know that all Kusala must... I think I've spoken to you about this before, but seeing Sarah's asking me, I'm just trying to formulate it again in my mind, and I think it's always helpful anyway. Because all Kusala has roots, either two or three roots, a lobha or a dosa, or a lobha, a dosa, and a moha. It was confusing for me to understand that somebody is born as a human being, ahetuka, patisandhi, without roots. And I found that difficult to understand. You explained it to me at the time, I understand, as that it's very weak. And although it wasn't clear to me, I just thought, well, okay, that makes sense to me. I'm not totally clear in my mind's eye, but it's all right for the time being. I don't know if... So my question was, again, how is it that human beings can be born without roots? And we know that all kusala karma has roots, and to be born human is the result of kusala karma.
That's why for akusala roots, which arises with citta, it must be only akusala, not vipaka.
Now please repeat that again, John.
The moha, lobha, tosa, the three akusala roots, can arise with only akusala citta because it's unwholesome. So whenever it arises, citta is unwholesome. It cannot be vipaka.
Okay.
That's why the akusala vipaka doesn't have any roots.
No. Okay, I'll persist with this because it's not clear, if that's all right, Ajahn. To be born human is the result of kusala vipaka.
Kusala karma.
Sorry, of course. Kusala karma. And we all know that, well, I understand that, my understanding is that kusala karma must have at least two roots. So, perhaps I'm misunderstanding, but then how come somebody can be born without roots?
Okay. When the kusala karma is very weak and much more of akusala all the time,
yes.
But still, the kusala, which is so very weak, can condition birth with the akusala karma. So, after the one who was born with the santirana kusala vipaka must be blind and deaf from birth. It means that not after birth. The karma just
was weak.
Conditioned such state of being born a human being,
yeah.
Crippled, not like others.
It's not on the way, maybe the roots.
Well,
and
it's possible. Would it possibly be, because we knew we hear of this, and Eve brought that example. Some people, though, can have perhaps very comfortable life, and that's
because of other
deeds. That,
yeah.
Yes, that which will bring fruit.
And because that is vipaka
at that moment of birth. And there's other moments, but that doesn't mean there cannot be kusala, like even the animals' birth as a result of akusala karma. So it's not, there cannot be development of understanding, but there can be moments of kusala, because one is vipaka and one is the accumulation of kusala or akusala. So even in the animal realm, let alone the weak kusala vipaka that conditions birth in this life, doesn't mean there cannot be kusala during that life, depending on accumulations.
Kusala on the part of the...
Both.
So there can be generosity, there can be... We're talking about in the life when the birth consciousness is rootless, so that can be either in the animal realm, result of akusala karma in that case, or result of kusala karma as a human, but so weak, so rootless. But in that life, it doesn't mean because the birth, the vipaka, is rootless, it doesn't mean there cannot be any kusala in that life.
You're talking about kusala karma, I'm confused.
Kusala cheetahs. Yeah, could be kusala karma too.
Like all the examples one always
reads and hears about the dog helping his master or something like this. So it can be moments of kusala, it could even be kusala karma, depending.
Just a moot point, but it would seem unlikely to me with the dog. I don't know if I'm just being...
The dog cannot become enlightened.
No, that's right. Can we say, like that in that example of Sarah's there, that My understanding of jhana is that there's so much akusa in the animal world, like when dogs help their masters, it's just pure attachment.
But what about human beings? They have much more akusa than dogs and cats.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. So I can't imagine a dog. So I can't imagine a dog having much kusala, even though it seems like they're having some kusala at times. Is that possible?
For
a dog.
For
a dog.
Kusala?
Yes.
Why not?
Okay.
Friendly.
Sorry.
To be friendly.
Okay.
But it can be attachment if there's no understanding about the distinction between the two. But you see that a dog sits and the other dog comes, and that dog gives the food, sitting there waiting for that visitor finish or something like that. See?
Yeah. Yeah.
Or save people's life.
And we know about a certain life of the Bodhisattva when he was reborn as a king elephant or king something, and it seems that during that life, even can have understanding.
There can be opportunity for kusala by conditions. Everything is by conditions.
And what about understanding, right understanding? In the particular cases, right?
He just thinks.
You'd like that to be understanding?
Because we read about those life very exceptional.
Because he's Bodhisattva.
With this jitta, if it has to be the second jitta in that process, the santirana, not the sampatijana, because the new base, it's a new base, therefore the first jitta is a bit weak.
Yeah.
What about when there's seeing, like we've gone from Bhavanga jitta, which is heart base. And then there's the moment of seeing consciousness. So that
vajana citta
arising at the heart base, the averting consciousness.
There's actually three.
But they're
also at the heart base. Yes. They're not at prasada, right. Prasada rupa here. Mm. So why is this one so strong and not in the reverse way?
So is seeing
strong or weak? How many citta seekers arise with it?
Seven.
I don't think it's strong citta.
So only seven citta seekers arising with it?
Yeah.
We had this discussion.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Well, I'm back to the rupa part of it. You said that the rupa, the arising of sampatijana at heart base is not strong enough. It has to be santirana, and it's more established on the base. So my question, I know you may have answered it and I missed it, that Bhavanga jitta is at heart base, so then the seeing, why does seeing see so, why is there not a couple of seeing jittas? Isn't the first one a bit weak?
I think what? Compared to other cheetahs,
it is weak, and that's why there only it's only accompanied by seven cheetah seekers, but Ajahn may say more.
You mean because of change of base?
Yes.
So you talk about the strength or what?
Well, I guess it is the strength, yes.
What about just one moment of seeing? See? The object lasts for 17 moments. It's the same one. But the seeing consciousness just sees. It needs only seven jitasikas, while the other jitta, like panchadvara, vajna, which arise before it, and the jittas which arise after it, must have more cetasika. By understanding, seeing that it's just a moment of seeing, that's all. But before the rupa has fallen away, akusala attachment arises, experience it, 7 moments. But only seeing just very, only a moment, see.
Because there seems to be so much seeing.
That's wrong. Because so there are many jetasikas so and jitta in between, somebody channa, sandirina, shavana, and the other process, like mind or process in between. Many, many processes. That's why it's impossible for anyone to understand the Buddha wisdom.
Yes.
See,
yes.
Only one moment, and he taught that seeing arises only one moment.
And when I'm now learning that it's the weakest citta.
As kaya vinyana just arise at the kaya pasada.
Mm-hmm.
See, experience hardness. See, nothing to do with the heart base or anything at all. But nobody can change conditions from moment to moment. What is the nisya pachya, the base for this, and what is the base for that?
And I was just going to say to Tiny Tom, and that's why the idea we have of visible object or sound is not the one that's experienced, just like the idea of breath is not the reality. Because it's just a moment of seeing just one weak citta which experiences object and then gone.
I mean, the kusala and akusala
follow need far, far more supporters and help because they're strong citta.
And also consider that before that moment of seeing consciousness, the visible object has contacted the eye base. Yes. It has interrupted the pravanga. And there has been an adverting moment too. So there's a sort of build-up to it.
That's cleared up that particular question. But it's created a whole lot.
Not see yet. See? A moment before seeing.
I thought I knew stuff.
And many moments after seeing.
Well, it's a little bit like Tam said when she heard about each citta being conditioned by Pakdupa Nisiyapachya yesterday. You suddenly hear something different, and then other new points or aspects are considered.